to the Joshua chapter 17, verses 12 through 18. Joshua chapter 17, verses 12 through 18, as we continue our current series, Living the Significant Life. And before I begin, thank you so much, Praise Team, for the time of worship that we had. Thank you for being patient with your pastor that just wanted to sing a little bit extra this morning. Thank you so much, young man. And, last Sunday, you know, we had been praying for one of our brothers in Christ here, Brian Posh, and we had been praying for him. And last Sunday, Brother Brian went to be home with the Lord. And I let Miss Becky know that the praise team and the prayer team and the entire leadership team had been praying for their family. And as a matter of fact, if you're on the leadership team, deacons, pastors, prayer team, praise team, if you would stand up right now, would you, if you would please, all over the sanctuary. Prayer team, praise team. I just want you to take a look around at in the folks in the Hispanic ministry as well that were praying for you, Miss Becky. And we just thank you so much for honoring us. Thank you. Take your seats. For honoring us yesterday and allowing us to have the memorial in our home. And the large extended family came, and we had plenty of good food and good times. One of Brian's brothers, Scott, is here this morning. We just thank you so much for joining us this morning. Moving back to today's message, if you have your Bibles, whether in digital or printed format, please hold them over the head, all over the sanctuary. It can be digital or printed, amen, all right? All right, great, I see back there the digital one. I'm so glad to see that I did not see solitaire on that screen. Good job there, Dennis. And so we come to the second part of last week's message. It's not complicated. You know, sometimes we like to allow... I see we have a visitor here today, Nyasha. I look over there and I just happen to notice Nyasha. What a blessing. You knocked Pastor Larry right off his stride. Thank you so much for being here today, sweetheart. And what a blessing. And sometimes we like to think the Christian life is complicated, and it is not. Sometimes we like to think that theology is complicated. It is not. God is very straightforward about what He has called us to do. And so as we come to today's message, it's the second part of the message I began last week in Joshua chapter 17, verses 12 through 18. If you are there, please say amen. We're going to read through the Word of God now. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "Why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now?" So Joshua answered them, "If you are a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you." But the children of Joseph said, "The mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are in Beth Shean and its towns and those of the valley of Jezreel." And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, "You are a great people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot. But the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its furthest extent shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong." May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. Excuse me. Christians, I want you to think about this for a moment. You look around today, and you must realize that we are in a battle. We are in a great battle, not just for our country, but for the souls of men and women, young and old, boys and girls. It is not only a battle, it is open warfare. It's open warfare. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, write this down in the margin there. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We are in a mighty, mighty battle against the forces of evil. Amen? There is a ruler of this world. Adam and Eve lost the title deed to earth at the fall in the Garden of Eden. The Lord Jesus has won it back for all of us that have received Jesus Christ as Lord. But we are in a battle because our enemy is powerful and he does not want to give up. Now listen, friends, I want to share something with you quickly, because it's easy to look around and lose sight of who the enemy actually is. Amen? There is no person on this planet that is your enemy. I'm going to say that one more time just so we get it. There is no person on this planet that is your enemy. If you think so, you are fighting the wrong battle. Because the real enemy is Satan. The real enemy is Satan and his demonic angels. You know, a little information here. You may not realize this, but you are a soldier in the army of the living God. You are a soldier of Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Well, I am so glad you asked. Listen, friends, turn in your Bibles quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's over in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'll give you a hint, it comes right after 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. If you're there, please say amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. If you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen. Are you ready for this? The Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy saying, you therefore must endure hardship as a good, what? Soldier of Jesus Christ. You are soldiers in the army of the living God. You are soldiers of Jesus Christ. That is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You may say, well, I don't want to be a soldier. I don't want to be at war. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. Too bad. Get over it. Then you may ask, well, how did I get into this war? How did I get drafted to be a soldier? Simple. You were saved. And we forget so often that as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ in the army of the living God, we are called upon to go forth and share the biggest weapon that we have, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we actually enter into enemy territory, the world that is being controlled by Satan. And we go and we share the gospel. And when one person is redeemed of God and receives Jesus Christ, we pluck them from disaster. We take them away from the enemy and we carry them back over to the side of the Lord. And they are so lost until that moment. Amen? You say, well, nobody told me this before I got saved. Well, they should have. Pastors should tell Christians exactly who they are. I think I have a lot of faults as a pastor, but one of them is not in reminding our church who we are. You are soldiers in the army of the living God. You are soldiers of Christ. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Think about that. Royal blood flows through your veins. When you speak the name of Jesus Christ, every demon in Broward County trembles. The same God that said, let there be light. In other words, light in me be. When you were saved, that same glory of God, that same light came into your life. And so when you speak the name of Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory of God proceeds out to dispel darkness in the world. Because in the Christian life, friends, when you get saved, you suit up, you put up, and you go to war. We are not to sit here on our haunches. Amen? Let's try that again. I thought I'd get a testimony. I'm glad I brought my own. We are to suit up for the army of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now we're talking. For you visitors, I do that sometimes just to make sure we aren't dozed off here. Listen, the bad news is that we have a powerful enemy. The good news is that we're not fighting by ourselves. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is there for you. He's right here today for you. You may be going through a moment of weakness, a moment of wondering about things that you're going through in your life. I want you to know that Christ Jesus is here for you. If you are redeemed of God, He lives in your heart. Clutch Him close. You see, King Jesus, the commander of the army of the Lord, when He went to the cross, when the Son of God died and rose again, He crushed that old devil. He crushed his head as foretold in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. King Jesus, when He rose victoriously from the dead, He did so to the glory of God the Father. And He did so as King of kings and Lord of all lords. Friends, we are not fighting this battle for the victory that may or may not be won. We are fighting this battle because the victory has already been won. We're just hangers-on. We're just jumping on that good boat that's on the way to victory. So rejoice and be exceedingly glad, as we say here at Living Hope Church. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I have 3 points today. I covered the first one last week. Go ahead and fill that in. Let us avoid partial possession. Look at verses 12 and 13 again. If you're there, please say amen. 12, 13, and then we'll skip down to 16. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. Skip down to verse 16. But the children of Joseph said, "The mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are of Beth Shean and its towns, and those who are of the valley of Jezreel." And we discussed this last week, is that they took up residence with the Canaanites. Canaanite is a symbol of sin in our lives. They took up residence and thought that they could enslave the ones that they were strong enough to conquer, but they gave in to the ones that they could not conquer. And He didn't go drive them out like the Lord had commanded them. And this talks about the things that we are willing to live with in our lives because we think we control them, and the things that we are not willing to live with in our lives because we think we can't beat it. In other words, on this particular sin, oh, I can control that. I got that. That can be in my life. It's okay to have that stuff hanging around in my life, cluttering things up. But over here on this one, oh, that addiction is too strong for me. That's too strong. I'm willing to deal with it. I still love the Lord, but that's too strong for me. And Christians fall into that manner where they are willing to live with the things in their life they've been told to utterly drive out. Why are we told to drive it out? Because Christ Jesus has conquered the cross. That's now our second point. Please fill this in. Second point, let's avoid paralyzing pride. Oh, that's Satan's favorite one right there. That's the one that got him tossed out of heaven before he could sneeze, before he could blink an eye. Look at verse 14, if you would, please. Verse 14, if there, please say amen. Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "Why have you given us only one lot? Oh, good Lord. Why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now?" The very same people. Sometimes the Word of God just amazes me. Sometimes I read a passage and I'm like, really? The very same people that disobeyed God's command to drive out the Canaanites are now asking for more. God said, drive them out. Well, we're willing to live with this, but we can't drive them out of there because they're too strong. Lord, give me more. Give me more to choose from. Really? Look at what they're really saying. They're saying, excuse me, we are so great. I am so great that I need a bigger place. I don't want to have to work to clear out these Canaanites. I need a bigger lot. I need a bigger possession. Give me more for, what does it say there? For I am a great people. Can you imagine having the the affront, having the temerity to say that to the Lord. I cannot imagine the grace. I cannot imagine the mercy that stopped God from zapping them and killing them right on the spot. But let's look at this from our perspective. Don't we all have those times when we think we've done pretty well? That we're doing okay? You know, we come to church, we give of our treasure, we give of our time, we share the gospel, and then we're wondering why the Lord hasn't given us more possessions. Lord, why haven't you given me more? It's growing quiet in here, guys. We're wondering why the Lord hasn't given us bigger opportunities. Maybe we wonder, Lord, why haven't you poured more blessings on me? Because after all, I'm pretty great. If you don't think so, just ask me. Just ask me how I'm doing for you, Lord. Ask me about all the things I've done to help you out. Guys, biblically speaking, it's no wonder why we fail so much in our lives. It is no wonder. Because we've become paralyzed by our pride, by our lack of humbleness, by our inability to reach out and show the same grace and mercy to a lost and fallen world that the Lord God showed us. We are to share the gospel, but more than that, you know what? You can't be beating people over the head with the Bibles. You can't be thumping them up in their face about whether what church they're in or what, all of those kinds of things. We are to be people of grace and mercy. It's why I start every single message by these words. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul says that in every one of the letters that he wrote except three of them. The three pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, he starts with grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why do you suppose that is? It's because pastors should lighten up a little bit once in a while. We are to preach the word, but show some mercy. Amen? Yeah, I thought you'd get behind that one. So, we become paralyzed by pride. What a terrible sin pride is. Amen? It keeps us from the fullness of God's plan for our lives. You know, with most sins, other than pride, at least the person that's committing that sin knows they're committing it. Listen to me, guys. A drunkard knows he's a drunkard. Amen? A thief knows he's a thief. A drug addict knows he's addicted to drugs. But have you ever met a proud person that realized they were a proud person? Some of them have pride in their humbleness, which totally wipes me out. Pride is a terrible sin. Look at the screen, if you would, please, at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. He says, likewise, you younger people, that's from me down. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. You guys got it? Youngers, be submissive to the elders. All of us be submissive to each other. And be clothed with what, church? Humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, I've been to some of our great national and state Baptist conventions. I love going. I love going to the pastors' conferences. But every once in a while, I hear a speaker get up there and say something along the lines about our great convention, our great program. I truly believe that grieves the heart of God. I truly believe that. I believe Southern Baptists are doing great things in the world because they share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe Southern Baptists are doing great things in the world because we have more missionaries than any other denomination in the world. But we are not a great people. God is great. Not only that, God is good. Amen? God is good? And all the time. And all God's people said. So listen, if there were ever a people that ought to fall upon their face before Almighty God, it's us. Guys, if we want the Lord God to hear us, God has given us the formula in His Word. You want to know the formula? It's right in God's Word. Get ready to write this passage down in your border. We should have it up on the screen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 through 16. I'm sure you've heard this before in your life. If my people, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there permanently. Guys, if my people, who are my people? When you receive Jesus Christ, who are you? What is your name? You are called a what? A Christian. See, being called a Christian is not a denominational issue. It's not a theological issue. It's who we are. We are in Christ Jesus. And the word, those words that we just read from 2 Chronicles 7:14-16 are as valid now as they were then. America needs to be on its face before God. Christians need to be upon our face before God. Look at Joshua's response. Look back in verse 15 of Joshua chapter 17. So Joshua answered them, If you are a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you. He's saying, listen, get off your keister and get busy. Apparently, they still don't get it. Look at verse 16. But the children of Joseph said, the mountain country is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Both those who are of Beth-Shean and its towns and those who are of the valley of Jezreel. In other words, this part is too tough to take. Give us some new parts. I want the parts that are easy to get. Lord, give me the low-hanging fruit. Give me those victories in life that are easy to do. I could go on and on and on, but we'd be here forever. Let's move on to our final point. And all God's people said, amen. Let's avoid perverted priorities. Perverted priorities. Look at verses 17 and 18 one more time. And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, you are a great people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot. Listen closely, church. But the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its furthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong. God's solution for this disobedient people is simple. Before you ask for more, before you get more territory, here's what you need to do. You need to get your priorities straight. You need to get your priorities straight and take care of what I have already given you. I see some of your faces. Pastor's about to meddle again. Pastor's about to meddle in my life again right here. I know I can feel it coming. Well, I'm going to be kind about it, guys, because it already beat me up while I was preparing this message. See, listen. They are saying, I want more land. I want more opportunities. I want more blessings. I want more, more, more. Gimme, 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 gimme. And God says, when you take care of what I have already given you, when you take care of what I have already blessed you with, when you clear the forest, when you drive out the giants and the Canaanites like I commanded you, then you'll have more. That is when you will have more. And that applies to us today just as much. Amen? I am amazed at how often I get requests like this. Pastor, preacher, teach me more of the Bible. I want to learn more and more. Now listen, guys, that's a great thing, amen? We're all about the Word of God here at Living Hope Baptist Church. But let me share one thing with you. As we learn more and more and more, we have more and more responsibility. And the Lord is going to reveal more of His Word to you when you've been obedient and applied the Word of God He has already given you. The things that us Christians already know. You see, the problem for Christians is not outside our churches. It's roaming around inside our churches. The Lord is saying, go and take care of that land that I have already given you. Well, Lord, I don't know what to do. Step outside the church. The Lord has people all over, and the Lord will say, they're right there. Find a way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. find a way to be Jesus to those people that I am putting right there. I brought them to you. You're sitting in the restaurant. Be kind to your server. Be generous to the person that's serving you your meal. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. If you can't afford to tip generously when you go to eat out, don't go eat out. Don't do it. First off, if the service is bad, that person may be a great server and they're having just a tough day. A little blessing would help them out. But on the other side, if the food is cold or not that good or took a while to get there, can I share something with you? They didn't cook it. It's somebody in the back that cooked it. Be generous to your server. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Be generous to them. I went right off my notes again, guys. Right off my notes. You know Pastor Larry does that. Teach me more. Other people say, I wish I had more money. I could do a lot more with a lot more money. Well, here's the truth of the matter. We each have all the money that God can trust us with. I'm going to say that again. You guys had already moved on to other things. We've been given all the money that God can trust us with now. God will give us more when He can trust us to do with what we've been given already. Now, a lot of folks get defensive when we start talking about tithes and offerings and say, okay, here we go. It's another pastor just talking about money and so on and so forth. But let me ask you something. Does God ever tell you a specific dollar amount to give? No. What does He say? He says to give of a tithe. Amen? Give of a tithe of what He has blessed you with. So a tithe for me and a tithe for you is the same amount of money. As a matter of fact, for those that have more, it's probably easier to give of a tithe. See, we have more resources in our life. For somebody that's earning a minimum wage or a little more than that or not that much money, tithing means trusting God. They don't have a whole lot to fall back on. That takes real trust that God is going to do what God said He has done. Take somebody that's a billionaire or a millionaire, a tithe. They still got a bunch of money, guys. They still have a bunch of money. And all they have to do is live like us. Any millionaires running around in here? Are you like me? Would you just be happy with being a hundredaire? And all God's people said. All right, so God, listen, God says that we are to tithe. My tithe is no more than your tithe. So let me ask this. Why would God give more to the Christians? Why would God give more to His people here when they haven't been obedient what they have now? Why would God give more to us that are not generous than what we have now until we become as generous as God? Is God generous or is God not generous?
Amen.
Amen. Did you wake up this morning wondering where your next breath was coming from? Were you afraid the sun wouldn't come up in the east and go down in the west? No. We don't have that fear. God is so generous with all that He has given us. Listen, a Christian that isn't interested in missions with the $100 that God has given them is not going to be interested in missions with the $1 million that God gives them. Missions are important. That's why Living Hope Baptist Church gives to missions. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 10 on our screen. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Oh, this is good. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Be faithful with the little things and see what God does with it. Be faithful with the little things. I'm going to share this. I've shared it before. Many of you heard this story. Years ago, when Ms. Ruth Ann and I decided we were going to serve the Lord with our whole heart, one of the first things we decided was we were going to tithe, period. In the statement, we were going to do it. Now, at the time, we were living in a not a nice place, a little ratty apartment. We had one vehicle. It was a good vehicle, but it was one vehicle. We decided no matter what, we would tithe. We did that for a whole year. At the end of that year, by the way, we were always fighting about money. Now, I know that doesn't happen around here. And stop elbowing the person sitting next to you. But we decided we tithed for a year, faithfully. At the end of 1 year, no more fighting about money because we put the Lord first. Every bill was paid. We were in a new apartment with two cars. You ready for this? without one extra penny of money coming in. Trust God with your tithes. Put the Lord first. And, oh, by the way, to finish the story, to make a real happy ending, at the end of that year, I received a 75% pay raise. God is good, amen? God is good. Trust God to do great things in your life. If you want bigger opportunities, start taking care of the forest where we are. That passage we see, he says, what? Clean out the forest. Clean out that forest. I don't want you to think, this is all about your money and tithes and offerings. Listen, you may hate your job and you want a better job. You may hate your job and you may want a better job. Let me tell you how to get one. You ready for a better job? How many of you would like a better job? Oh, now you're getting all spiritual on me in here. How many would like a better job? Amen. There we go. Go to work tomorrow morning and do that job better than it's ever been done. You put everything that you have in it. You be the best employee that your company has ever seen. Why? Because we shouldn't be doing what we do for our job. We shouldn't be doing what we do for some mean old boss. We shouldn't be doing what we are doing for money. What should we be doing for? We should be doing it for the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 24 should be on the screen. It says, bondservants. Bondservants is employees. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward for your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. When you do your job like you're serving Jesus Christ, it'll make all the money, all the difference in your life. Guys, ask yourselves, am I a good steward of all the opportunities that God's given me? Am I living to full capacity? If not, why not? I debated over whether I was going to say this next part. Oh my goodness, could it be that I'm lazy? No, you're asking yourself. I don't want y'all just looking at me up here. All right? Could it be that we're just lazy? That happens, amen? Oh, listen, I got lazy last night. We had a memorial at our home. We had a house full of people. Had a great time of fellowship with friends and family and just a great time that we had there as we fellowship and did memories of Brother Brian. And massive amounts of food. Then after it was all over, I plopped myself down in my chair while all the ladies did all the cleanup. I'm not feeling real good about that right now. I could have helped my wife a little more. I feel those eyes coming from right over here. But I definitely could. But I'm just meddling now. I'm going to go ahead and move along. So let's look at two final things quickly that the Lord told them so they could get back on track. You want to get back on track? Amen. Let's get back on track. And then I heard four of you. I assume the rest of you are right where God wants you right now. Look at verse 18. First part. But the mountain country shall be yours, although it is wooded. You shall cut it down. He tells them to clear out the trees. Now, there's nothing wrong with trees. Everybody likes trees, amen? Amen. Nothing wrong with trees. That is unless you need to build a house where they are. Unless you need to build something there. Or you want to grow corn or wheat or a vineyard where they're standing. Then those trees must come down. Trees are beautiful things. They create shade. When I love sitting under our trees with Miss Ruth Ann in our home. Especially after we've been working in the yard and it's been hot. But if the trees fill up your land, you have no right to say, I don't have enough room for what I need to do here. You need to clear out those trees. And what does that mean? In other words, get rid of the things that are cluttering up our lives. Get rid of the clutter, the things that are coming between you and your God. The things that are coming between you and serving your Almighty God. Amen? Don't say, I don't have the time to do that anyway, because you do. Don't say you don't have time to do it. We all do. Add up the hours that you spend in front of the TV each week. I did that. It made me get out of my chair. You need to stop nodding all the time over there. You know, the whole church looks over at you when I say something like that. See if the pastor's guilty of that. There's plenty of time. And listen, guys, here's what I don't do. Here's what I want to do. I don't want to say, Lord, I'm too busy for what you have me to do right now. I don't want to be doing that. Well, some of them say, well, if I were a preacher like you, Pastor Larry, then I would have more time and I could just study my Bible. Guys, I'm a bivocational pastor. I work all day. I preach here on Sunday and Wednesday nights. I study in the evenings. Yesterday, on a day when I really... yesterday morning, the memorial service was late in the afternoon. It was really a time I really wanted to go maybe hit, just not even play a round of golf, but just hit a few balls. The Lord said, no. Laid on my heart, I went in my office. And I studied the Word of God for next week's message in the upcoming series that we're having in September. A new series called I Am. I Am. You know, the Lord just laid that on my heart. Folks, God gives us all 24 hours in a day. Amen. And if you have enough time in every day to do gracefully everything God wants you to do, as long as you clear out the clutter. The clutter like football games and baseball games and TV. I'm not saying stop playing baseball or football and watch the TV. That's not what I'm saying. But if it's infringed on your time between you and God, cut back on it. Cut those trees down. Because when they become that much clutter, they become an idol in your life. And don't get all fired up about doing church work either, guys. You know, church work can become your idol. Did you know that? You can get so busy in church that you forget that you are here to honor God. It doesn't matter if you're a greeter or a praise team or a pastor or a congregational member sitting here with your love and your grace and your mercy supporting your pastor. Don't let church become the idol. Church is where we come to worship our Heavenly Father. So get rid of those things. What else? Look at the second half of verse 18. For you shall drive out the Canaanites. What does that mean? Get those Canaanites representing sin out of your lives. How do you do that? Well, you pray. Get rid of the things that corrupt your life. We all have them. We all know. It's different for different people, guys. The things that would corrupt my life may be different from yours. Get those things out of our lives. Get those things out of our lives that we think we can overcome. Get those things out of our lives that we think are too strong for us to overcome. And look at the order of that in verse 18. First, get rid of the clutter. Then clear out the corruption. You got it? Say amen. Amen. Clear out the clutter. Overcome the corruption. Friends, before you get ready to do battle, you better clear off a spot to do battle from. Amen. There might be a Canaanite hiding in those trees. When you declutter your life, you'd be surprised all the things that come dashing out of there. Get those things cleared out and ready to do battle. I feel this so strongly. It'll be a great day in our lives when we learn that worship comes before battle. That worship comes before warfare. See, we want to do great battle for God, amen? We need to come worship the Lord. We need to worship the Lord with our voices and song. We need to worship the Lord in honoring Him with our tithes and offerings. We need to worship the Lord with the reading of His Word. We need to worship the Lord. We need to get alone with Him and quiet with Him. Don't miss that out. Because when you get the clutter out of your life and you start spending more time with God, then you can learn what God wants you to know. You can do the things that God wants you to do. You can be the person of God that God intends for you. You can store up your biblical knowledge, getting strong, being prepared. Then you can go out and do battle. Amen. Then you can go out and do battle with the Canaanites that corrupt your lives. Guys, don't you want to live the significant life? Don't you want to do that? Say amen. Do I have one more slide, one more passage, Miss Margaret? Well, I'm going to turn to it here real quick. Listen, guys, to live the lives of significance, to make things uncomplicated, let's avoid partial possessions. Let's avoid paralyzing pride. Let's avoid perverted priorities. Listen to this. When we do those things, are you ready for this? This is good. Get ready to mark down this passage. Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. What does that psalm say? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a new heart, O Lord. That sings, doesn't it? Friends, you should be thirsty not for the things of this world, but thirsty, not thirsty for things that are dry, but thirsty for righteousness. Thirsty for a clean conscience. Thirsty for a pure heart and a clean start. So let's pray for God's hand to reach down from heaven into the forest of our hearts and get the clutter out. And get ready to do battle with our Canaanites. And you can start that today by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. You can start that today by rededicating your heart to Jesus Christ. I end this message as I end each and every week, saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon. You are God. You are